The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, located at 111 North 2nd Street, Clearfield, PA. To hear the complete message, additional messages, or to follow us on Facebook, please go to www.fbcclearfield.com. That is www.fbcclearfield.com. We invite you to worship the Lord with us each Sunday at 10:45. Good morning. Can you hear me? I'm not used to ever having to say those words. Can you hear me? But, and Gary, you know, I really feel bad because I did come early today to shorten my message, but there was no heat in the church. So I spent that time turning the heat on. So, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get to shorten it any. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We praise you for all that you do. We praise you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be born a man, and then to go to the cross and save us from our sins. And we just ask, Lord, that you be with us during this time and that you are glorified through the songs and the words spoken. Amen. I typically have a message ready just in case I'm asked to fill the pulpit. But like another time I had to fill the pulpit, the message didn't seem to fit the occasion. If you regularly attend our drive-in services in the summer, you've heard me share about God's law and how we have all broken it. The punishment for breaking even one law is death. But fortunately for those who believe in Christ, the death penalty has been paid in full. This was shared in a short messages throughout the summer. Since the penalty has been paid in full, we can spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. Combining and clarifying some of those messages seemed like a good idea for a sermon, but it seemed that a more joyful message was appropriate for this time of year. Instead, let's focus today on praising the Lord for the mercy and grace he has shown us. Recently, we focused on the birth of our Lord and Savior. We are grateful for his love and his willingness to leave heaven and come to earth. We recently celebrated Christmas, and as one of the popular songs say, the most wonderful time of the year. But why is it the most wonderful time of the year? It is not because of the traditions we keep, even though those can bring people closer together. It's not because of the gifts exchanged. In fact, how many of you have stressed over those gifts? It's not because of the lights. While they look appealing and most of us enjoy them, they don't make the season special. It's not the music, though it's probably one of the few times a year I listen to music regularly. It is special because of God's love for us. God the Father loves us. God the Son loves us, and God the Holy Spirit loves us. Let us focus today on praising God the Father, praising God the Son, and praising God the Holy Spirit. The passage that I selected today covers why Christmas season should be so special to Christians. It focuses on praising the Lord of all creation and shares that we have hope in him. Ephesians chapter 1 contains the verses that we will be reading today. We are specifically looking at verses 1 through 14. While you are turning to that passage, I want to share something that I learned while preparing for this message. This passage is one long sentence in the Greek. I have written sentences as long as this in English, but they tend to be run-on or grammatically incorrect. Just ask my wife. None of them are close to being as profound as this passage. The passage we are covering today is an expansion on the praise of God's purpose in Romans 8:28. The passage in Ephesians we are covering goes into greater detail than the passage in Romans. But I want to read the passage in Romans to kind of set the tone for the message. Romans 8:28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. We should be continually thanking God for choosing to save us. Each breath that we take is an opportunity to bring praise to the Lord. Each breath a non-believer receives is an opportunity for them to repent and trust the Lord. Each breath that God gives a non-believer is an act of mercy and grace. If you are an unbeliever here today or hear the message later, I pray you will take advantage of the opportunity God is giving you to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people question God's justice because he doesn't save everyone. I believe the late R.C. Sproul had a good response to this thought. Suppose 10 people sin and sin equally. Suppose God punishes 5 of them and is merciful to the other 5. Is this injustice? No. In the situation, 5 people get justice and 5 people get mercy. No one gets injustice. God is not obliged to treat all people equally. We must remember that mercy is always voluntary. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. The passage we are exploring today is focusing on praising God for blessings in Christ. We will read through the passage in the sections first, then read each of the sections talking about the praise that goes to the Father, the Son who redeems, and the Spirit who seals. Let us read the entire sentence together first. Okay, in English, it is more than one sentence, but it is packed with truths. Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of all fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We will be looking at three main parts of praising today. We could probably spend a message on each of these, and then Gary would really be upset. But even the introduction to that letter is full of amazing truths. But I would like to look at the first point of today will be we should praise that we were elected by the Father. And those are in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. We should praise God for the redemption by the Son. And we should praise God that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The first point of praise is found in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Again, let's read those verses. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In verses 3 through 6, it talks about the election of believers, something that is in some ways beyond our understanding. I came across an interesting illustration. The story is told of a group of theologians who were discussing the tension between predestination and free will. Things became so heated that one group broke up into two opposing factions. But one man, not knowing which to join, stood for a moment trying to decide. At last he joined the predestination group. "Who sent you here?" they asked. "No one sent me," he replied. "I came of my own free will." "Free will," they exclaimed, "you can't join us. You belong to the other group." So he followed their orders and went to the other clique. There someone asked, "When did you decide to join us?" The young man replied, "Well, I really didn't decide. I was sent here." "Sent here," they shouted. "You can't join us unless you have decided by your own free will." This humorous story addresses the tension between God's sovereignty and our responsibility for accepting Christ. We understand that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead men can't save themselves. We also understand that those who reject Christ will be responsible for their choice. If you are here today and haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray you will. The responsibility of the choice is yours. If you choose to reject Christ, you will spend an eternity without Him and without hope. If you are here today and have acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, praise the Father for the gift you received. Think about the fact that God gave you that gift, a gift you don't deserve. And by definition, a gift is something you can't earn. Always remember that without His grace, you would not have the special gift of salvation. There wasn't anything special about you. It was God's grace and mercy being displayed. The second point of praise is found in Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. Our redemption in Christ. Let's turn there. "In whom we have redeemed through His blood the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has proposed in Himself, that in the dispersion of fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him." Pastor Matt shared an illustration about a boy that made a boat and then lost it. And when it went down the river, the boy ended up finding it in a store and buying it back. Jesus has paid the price for our sins. Jesus not only made us, but He paid with His life to redeem us. The cost wasn't minor. It was more than any man could afford. Think about it. An infinite God became finite man. That alone would have been an amazing price to pay. Imagine going from where every command was obeyed without question to a world that hated Him enough to kill Him. That is why we should praise the Lord for His grace and mercy during Christmas. But the Christmas season only has meaning because it points us to Easter, where He paid the price for all of our sins. The third point of praise is found in Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. being sealed by the Spirit. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. This passage speaks of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. The phrase brings to mind the indelible impression made by a king's signet ring. The seal of the king was used to demonstrate that the king authorized the statement and it was binding. The king's seal was placed on the law that Haman wrote to destroy the Jews. The law could not be undone. But God used Esther and Mordecai to write another law that was also marked with the king's signet that saved many of the Jews. God, the Holy Spirit, marks us as God's people, and that can't be changed. The blessing of having the Holy Spirit residing in you as a believer is of immense value. In Sunday School Hour, we have been discussing the importance of the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon stated, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless. Unfortunately, many Christians try to bring glory to God through their own effort and not on the Holy Spirit to work through them. Dr. Paul Brand was speaking to a medical college in India on Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In front of the lectern was an oil lamp with its cotton wick burning from the shallow dish of oil. As he preached, the lamp ran out of oil. Can you imagine that? A preacher preaching so long that the oil ran out? The wick burned dry, and the smoke made him cough. He immediately used the opportunity. Some of us here are like this wick. He said, we're trying to shine for the glory of God, but we stink. That's what happens when we use ourselves as the fuel of our witness rather than the Holy Spirit. Wicks can last indefinitely, burning brightly without irritating smoke, if the fuel, the Holy Spirit, is in constant supply. If you are here today and trying to shine for the glory of our Savior on your own strength, you are likely frustrated and discouraged. But if you are allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you, the true joy of serving the Lord and Savior will fill you with strength to continue on. I have heard and even asked myself, how do we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us? That is a difficult question to answer. I don't have an adequate answer. But the first step is to praise God continually. If we are continually praising and worshiping God, our hearts will be open for His Spirit to work within us. I know my prayers tend to focus on asking for God's help, not on praising Him. Please note, I'm not going to stop asking and praying for His help. I need all the help I can get. But praising God more for redemption in Christ helps keep things in perspective. While exploring these texts in Ephesians today, we looked at three reasons to praise the Lord. We should praise God the Father for choosing to show us His mercy and grace. As believers, we were elected by the Father. We were redeemed by the Son. So we should be praising the Son for our redemption. And we were sealed by the Spirit. We should be praising the Holy Spirit for keeping us secure in Christ's love. Are you praising the Lord for all these things? Are you praising the Lord for all these things each and every day? Or do the burdens of day-to-day life lead you away from having a spirit of praise? Let's make serving others and praising God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit each day a New Year's resolution that we keep throughout the year. It is so difficult to know how we should live our lives. But one thing we can do is we can always praise the Lord for His love, mercy, kindness, and grace. Because we all know what we deserve, and we've been saved from it. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You. We praise You. We praise You not just for what You have done, but who You are. You are the all-powerful Creator of the world, of the universe, and You deserve our praise for just being who You are. The great I am. I pray that You will be with us as we continue to try to worship You in a pleasing way. And we pray that You would help us be bold in sharing the gospel, the thing that gives us hope for the future. Amen.